Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them, and then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning, good afternoon. Good morning for those who just woke up. Good afternoon for those who are going to sleep. Rather, good night. So today we celebrate the second Sunday of Lent. Do you still remember the gospel from last week? Raise your hand whoever does not. No. Temptation. So, okay, very good. Now, today we have Jesus going up the mountain. This is the end of, or the goal, I would say, of the whole Lenten discipline. That after we do our sacrifice, our penance, our prayer, meditation, then we must be transfigured. Into what? Into God? No. That's the worst mistake that we can think that we are going to do. Into someone better. Into someone that the Lord may say, This is my Son and I am well pleased with him. Now, it's not as easy as to say it. It's very difficult. Why? Because even the disciples, they only saw the glory, but they did not pay attention to the different things that were going on. That's why Peter said, okay, this is a good place. And most of us, there are different stages in our lives and different moments, even throughout the day, where we will say to ourselves within us, okay, I feel good here, I feel in peace, I don't want to go anywhere, I just want to stay here. Some of us is bad, right? But the reality is that life is not like that. That's the common mistake sometimes of Catholics or Christians, to believe that when we go to Christ, when we go to God, then there should be no pain. Believe me, it's not like that. That's why St. Paul says, no? You have to suffer with me, St. Paul says. And that's why the Lord says, no, this is only what you are going to attain when you follow what I am telling you. You have to go down. You have to go to the reality that there is something else that you have to walk, that there is something else that you have to work on your life, on your family, or even if you are able to, why not, society. And that entails sacrifice, that entails pain. All the time. And we don't want to go out there, not just in ourselves. You always hear me talking about this. No, why we don't want to acknowledge and why we don't want to accept that we are doing wrong? Because it pains within us. I'm not going to tell the people that I'm doing wrong because I know what's going to happen. And then it hurts. The pride starts being punched. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to accept the reality, and that's the reason why we cannot move forward. That's the reason why we cannot change. That's the reason why we even, when we pray every day, when we do sacrifice and when we do abstinence and when we do, we don't eat the whole day, still we cannot change. Why? Because we don't want to accept that pain. And that's what the Lord is saying. Before I stayed in this place where you just saw, I have to go through the cross. This is the annunciation of the sacrifice of the Lord. And this is what we are being prepared for all of these 40 days, for that crucifixion. That's what he's saying. If there is no crucifixion, there is no resurrection. If there is no pain, there is no gain for those who like to go to the gym, right? For those who like sports, no pain, no gain. And it is true also for the spiritual life. That's why we have to be very careful. Because when we see the Lord in glory, we only saw the Lord there manifesting his divinity and his glory. And the Lord, God the Father, telling us, "This is my beloved Son." And then the Spirit in the form of a cloud. And then we saw the Holy Trinity. But we forgot to see those two men who were beside him. Who were those two men? Thank you. You're paying attention. That's part of the Lenten sacrifice, to pay attention. Because nobody wants to pay attention anymore. Right, kids? Ask your kids. They don't want to pay attention. They don't want to listen. They know it all. So that is my challenge for you. At least 40 days. Listen to your parents. Pay attention. That is a sacrifice that you have to make this Lenten season. Anyways, going back to the point. So we have Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah. Who is Moses? Who is Moses? Huh? The leader of the Israelites. Yes, I'm looking for something else. He is the law. The law was given to Moses. And then who is Elijah? Prophet. What else? Not just a prophet. We have Moses, who is the law of God, the commandments, the way, some people will say, the GPS, so that we will know what to do in every situation, so that we will know where to go. The GPS, everything is there, delineated there, point by point. And we have Elijah, who is the dynamic power of God. And this is where sometimes we commit mistakes. Sometimes we focus too much on the law, and we forget about the dynamic power of God. And even on the spiritual life, it happens like that sometimes, because this is what the law says, that I have to be silenced all the time before the sacrament, or I have to receive in the mouth, or I have to go to confession every week, or I have to pray the rosary every week, or the law is this, and the law is that, and that's why the priest is always wrong, because you know the law more than me. Yes, we have to follow the law. But we forget about what Jesus has been saying all along through his being with us. I desire mercy and love. And he says, I did not came here to change the law, but to give it a deeper meaning, to put that love into that law. Because you can have the law, but if there is no love, then it's useless. You are only going to become an oppressor. Now, the dynamic power of God, the activity, the power, the miracles, and all of these things are also beautiful, but we cannot just stay there all the time, because then that's why we have so many things that are not right. No, a long time ago, I was watching someone who put the Blessed Sacrament on a drone, and it was doing the procession with the Blessed Sacrament. That's not correct. That is not right. I saw someone also who was dressed like a clown and preaching in the altar. That is not correct either. You see? Yes, Father, it is the dynamic power of God. This is how the Lord, the Spirit, is leading us. No. There is a limit to it. To everything, there is a limit. The law and the dynamic power of God, they will lead us into wrong if they are not led by Jesus Christ. Have you seen a plane with only one wing? No. What's going to happen? Yes, it might take off, but then sooner or later it's going to go to the down, 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 and until it crashes. If you have the right, same thing. It might take off, but then it will go and it will crash. It has to be ruled and guided by the presence of Christ. And you cannot only have one. They must be together. If you are going to use the dynamic power of God, then make sure that you're also using the law of God. If you're going to use the law of God, then make sure that you also use the dynamic power of God. And they must be guided by Christ. Because if not, you may be using both, but it might be you, the one leading them. And that's not good either. That's not good. That's why this transfiguration, because the Israelites, they regarded as Moses and Elijah as great prophets. Because they were also seen with this splendor in their faces when they came down from the mountain. You know that both of them, they went up to the mountain, and then when they came down, then also they had this light shining forth from them. Why? Because they were with God, not because they were God. That's why when they saw that, and they saw that they were conversing with Christ, with Jesus, then they were able to recognize that it is Him and nobody else. And that happens on our families all the time. Not only the families, but even in the personal level. See? Sometimes we focus too much on what is the activity, the dynamic of the family, going out, going to places, doing this, doing that, and we forget about the law of God. We focus too much sometimes on our kids that they have to study and study and study and study and study, and we forget about the law of Christ. We forget about that dynamic of life. Believe me, I have seen so many people who focus too much on studies, and they are very intelligent, yes, but then when they get into the real life, they don't know how to cook. Have you seen that video? I don't know if you have seen it, maybe not, but there is a video where this guy is living alone for the first time, and then he goes into the sink after he ate, and then he puts the plates there. Then he goes again the whole day, and then he comes and brings the plates, and then he looks at the sink, and he goes and he comes back, and then he looks at the sink again. And then he calls the plumber and then says, "Something is wrong with the sink." And they said, "Why?" "It's not washing." See? We have to become educated. Yes, but we have to go into the practice as well. We have to become educated also in the things of God. Yes, but we have to practice it as well. We cannot just pretend that I know everything about the Bible and I know everything about the doctrines of the church if we don't have the dynamic power of God, which is the practice, the doing. We cannot just pretend that we are doing everything that the Lord is telling us if we do not know the law, we do not know the gospel, if we do not know the doctrine. All of them have to be together, because if not, it's going to fall apart. And tell me if you have not seen it on all of these young people nowadays. They focus too much on one thing. Some of them, they focus too much on work because they want to gain money. And they forget that even about that, even if you want to focus on working and gaining money, then you have to study as well. I remember this was, when was this? When I was young and cute. This was like around 20 years ago. I was 15 and I was working for this man down in Charleston, landscaping. And then he told me, he was a very nice man. He used to be a cop in Texas or something. And then he told me, "Rafael, I will give you work, but you better not stop studying." I said, "Why?" And then he said, "Because, you know, I stopped college, then I went into the police academy, and then I said, I'm not going to study if I'm already doing good. Then after that, I said, okay, landscaping is something that everybody can do, so I will just go into landscaping. And guess what, Rahel? I said, what? I had to buy 3 books like this big so that I can learn the job. See? It's not all about studying, and it's not all about working. All of them have to be together. Husband and wife. It's not only about providing. It's also about loving. Parents and children. It's not only about providing and giving everything they want, because you know what's going to happen. It's also about teaching them. You cannot just give them the fish. You have to teach them how to fish it. Everything has to be together and balanced, because if not, it's bound to crash. That's why when people, the young people come to me and they say, Father, we want to get married. Why? Because we love each other. I say, that's not enough. Go away. Yes. You cannot get married just because you love each other. You have to know what it entails to be a husband and a wife. You have to learn the story of your husband and all of the story of your wife, so that you may understand each other, so that you may know what are those problems that you may face in the future. I cannot just marry someone just because they are 21 and 22 and they feel they love each other. And when I explain everything, and then I said, are you living together? No, Father. Okay, so what are you going to do when you live together and you find out that he doesn't know how to wash his clothes? I'll do it for him, Father. All your life? Yes. What's going to happen when you get the baby? And then they start thinking. What's going to happen when you live together and you wake up and you see her with no makeup? Are you going to still love her? Yes, Father, yes, yes, I will. What's going to happen when she gains weight? See? It's not just about one thing. We have to think about everything, and we have to balance everything. Because when we are boyfriend and girlfriend, what do? We give each other everything that is good. But then when we are together, the bad stuff starts coming out, and we never talk about it. We never learn about it. We were just only on the dynamic activity of being a boyfriend and girlfriend. We never took time to learn about each other. And that's why the plane starts going. Yes, I'm learning about that. He has 4 brothers, Father, and we are going, okay, we love each other in the middle. Yes, okay, very good. And then we get married, but then I forgot to ask about the past. I forgot about to ask about the habits. I forgot about, and then we go down. We crash. And this is what the Lord is trying to tell us. Before you go up, you already know what is up. That you have to love each other, that you have to love your children. For you kids, your children, you know that you want to be someone in life. You know that you want to be a soccer player. You know that you want to be a lawyer. You know that you want to be a doctor. And you have already that vision of what it is. But have you taken the time to look at the 2 wings? You're going up, but you have to go down and fix those 2 wings, or else you're going to crash. And that's what the Lord is saying. You have to come down from that dream, from that mountain that tells you that everything is going to be okay just because you thought about it, just because that is your goal and your dream. Go down and first look at what are the things that you have to change, that you have to learn, that you have to accept. If it is your pride, then you have to work on it so that when you take off, at least you might go through that turbulence, you might go down, you might go through the mountains, but you will be able to go around it. That's what the Lord is saying. This is what is promised for you. This is what is already yours. See, salvation is already ours. That is a mistake also when someone says you have to work and gain salvation. No, salvation is already yours because Christ already died for us. But it is ours. But we can lose it. It is grace, St. Paul says. It is grace. It is already ours. But we can lose it. Your wife is already yours, but you can lose it. Your husband is already yours, but you can lose it. Your kids are yours, but you can lose it if you do not go down and think about those things that are painful, but you have to overcome so that you may see glory one day. That's what the Lord is saying. This is already yours, but you have to go down and face the reality that you still have to work on your pride, yet that you still have to advance in your prayer life, that you still have to do these things in your own personal life so that you may reach glory one day. That's the message for us. In every walk of life, every age, every vocation, that is what we have to do. Because if we just want to go into the cloud, we're going to crash sooner or later. So my dear brothers and sisters, hopefully this Lent is going to be a time for us to really look into our hearts. What am I doing? Because someone told me that I'm doing wrong. Am I really doing wrong? And if I am, then I have to change. And if I am not, then I just have to be prudent. Because someone told me that I am good, does that mean that I am really good? Or I'm just pretending? If I am really good, then I have to keep it low so that the Lord may still remain in me. And if I am not doing good, then I'm just pretending, then I better work on that so that I may become authentic. So let us pray to the Lord and the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph so that we may get the grace to walk through these 40 days and at least become better persons, better Christians, better children of God. Let us now stand. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible.